My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Mark Moss Show, where we're always talking about decentralization. We're talking about the world changing right before our very eyes as we look at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. You know, I try to bring to you some late breaking news headlines so you can stay up on what's going on. Obviously, some education so you can look and see the world differently. And of course, some interesting guests so you can get some different perspectives than just me. And today, I am joined by Dr. Mike Fulgens. He's a returning guest back to the show. He is the founder, CEO of Universal Coin and Bullion, and he is just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to metals and monetary history and so much more. And man, I have so much I want to dig into today. Mike, thanks so much for joining.
Oh, pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me, Mark.
Yeah, great. You know, I know that you've written a lot of work on gold and counterfeiting, and you've worked with the Texas Attorney General and so much things like that. I want to go back just a little bit to help kind of frame things up. You know, we're going into potentially some very dangerous financial times right now. The government is way indebted. As a matter of fact, they've added, it took them till I think 1980 to add $1 trillion in debt, and now they've added $3 trillion in debt in just the last 3 months. And the thing that I'm worried about is that, you know, we've seen this before, you know, and it, early on in the country's start, well, after the Fed started in the early 1900s, they also got into too much debt. And in 1933, they decided to confiscate gold. And, you know, as a gold expert, I wonder, you know, how you've studied that piece of history. And if you think, you know, maybe walk us through what happened and why you think that event happened. And if you think maybe another event like that could happen again if the government gets too in debt.
Well, back in 1932, 1933, we were in a financial crisis. And it was when I've worked with the Federal Trade Commission and other AGs, they don't like to use the word confiscate, even though a lot of people do use that. It was a recall. And the difference they make is you were paid $20 an ounce and change for your gold per ounce. Well, a year later, they raised the official price to $35. Nice profit for the government. But the recall did have some exceptions for some collectible coins. They weren't going to take away your wife's wedding ring or some jewelry or sculpture. But most things that were common, as far as current circulating gold coins and bars and things like that, you had to turn in under penalty of jail time and fine. And a lot of gold was turned in, helped make a lot of the bars that were and are in Fort Knox. And I've had people who've visited Fort Knox over the years.
I never heard that before. I never heard that it was called a recall. Of course, you know, they always call it the opposite of what it is, sort of like the Inflation Reduction Act. Let's spend another couple trillion to get the inflation to come back down. But a recall, because at, you know, up until that point, I mean, gold had been money. I mean, JP Morgan said gold is money, right? Everything else is credit. And so it was money. We put the gold in the bank, and then the bank gave us a claim to go claim that gold whenever we wanted. And then they said, now you can't claim it anymore. How would they have considered that a recall? Does that make any sense to you?
Well, because they didn't just take the gold. You just didn't have to give them the gold. They paid you for it. Even though it was you didn't like that they said you had to turn it in, they did pay you for it. Like if there's a highway going through your property and they take your property from you, but they do pay you, quote, fair market value for it. You did like get value domain. For the gold.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. Like, if they confiscate something from you, you get nothing for it.
Right.
If they raid something at your house and say there was a crime and they keep it, they've confiscated it.
Right.
And it's really a distinction that's been used in attorney generals' filings of criminal charges against other coin companies and other bullion sales, that utilization of the word confiscation to scare people to buy your product. They have used in filings to get fines from coin and metals companies.
Oh, really? So they're saying that yes. Coin and metals companies are kind of falsely misleading customers by using those types of words. That's not actually what
they
happened.
They draw the distinction between when I was working on the FTC's brochure with Barry Cutler, who was head of the Federal Trade Commission's Consumer Protection Division. They made the distinction, and they weren't even going to call it a recall that they had done that. But our industry said, no, here's what it was. Here's what you did. You people had no choice. They had to turn in all those gold products, except for a few exceptions. And you paid them $20 and such. And then a year later, you raised the price to $35. Well, they didn't put in raised it to $35, but they acknowledged that what they were saying was also inaccurate. So we got them to put it in the FTC consumer protection brochure.
Okay. So they didn't really confiscate it. They just forcibly bought it from you, sort of like an imminent domain.
At their price.
At their price, yeah. And that's the big thing. I mean, then they bought it for 20 and instantly revalued it at 35 or devalued it, however you want to look at what happened to your money. And
that was the value of collectible gold of some type with a little premium. And not that they wouldn't change the law in the future, but if you had a collector coin with some collectible value, not just the common ones, but a little better date, a little better quality, you had grounds to keep them. And a lot of people bought and had made good money in the future off collectible coins with a small collector numismatic premium.
You know, something that I haven't looked into, and I don't know if you have at all, but, you know, to your point that people were allowed to keep jewelry and people were allowed to keep these collector coins. And so at that time, it's hard to go back and put myself there, but gold had always been money. Like I said, JP Morgan declared that gold is money. And so at that time when people were forcibly, forced to sell their gold back to the government, they couldn't keep it anymore. Do you think, or do you know if there was like a big rush to people go, well, we have the money, I can't have the bullion, so I guess I'll just go buy a bunch of jewelry and collectible coins. Was there a shift like that?
There was lots of shipments by the wealthy of gold to other countries to hold gold coins and gold bars to Europe, to South America, to preserve their wealth by moving it to other countries. Of course, today we have Menendez who put the gold bars underneath his mattress, and Matt Gaetz, Republican representative from Florida, had a nice statement about how bribes the currency is being devalued by all the debt, that you got to bribe your congressman with gold bars instead of cash.
Yeah. But I'm curious if maybe there was like a big rush into gold jewelry and collectible coins, for example, back at that point.
I don't know that, but I know there was a rush to ship it to Switzerland, to South America, to store gold offshore.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense.
Since 2,300 years ago, Aristotle described gold as money since before Christ. It's been money since, you know, for thousands of years. And even George Washington, back when we had the first paper money that got extremely devalued, the Continental, was complaining that a wheelbarrow full of Continentals wouldn't buy a wheelbarrow full of provisions, and wanted the country to go on a gold in silver standard.
Right.
So we've seen it happen even in this country and definitely in Europe after World War One and Two.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very interesting story about the Continentals. And it seems like every single time a government, and not just the U.S. government, to your point, even in England, that's what got them into trouble. Anytime the government wants to get off the gold standard and go in towards like a paper type of currency, they just seem to overprint the amount of currency. They can't help themselves, right?
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the states have restrictions on, they have to balance budgets. Unfortunately, the federal government doesn't do that the same way.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, shoot, if you can print yourself money, why wouldn't you? Right. But it's like, that's what got the UK into trouble. That's what got, you know, England into trouble into World War One. And they lost all their gold trying to defend that. And unfortunately, we're starting to see the same thing. I want to get into that. But before we do, so there's obviously buying the physical gold. The problem was, I guess, at the time, one, it's like kind of hard to own it. So maybe a lot of people used the banks as sort of like a custody, right? So they would kind of keep it secure for them. And that was a big problem. Today, there's other ways that people buy gold so that you can own it yourself and put it in a safe. You can find gold vaults. You could potentially get different types of ETFs. Things like that. I'm curious your take on the different ways that you can own gold and some of the risks of potentially like keeping it in a vault or keeping it in an ETF or something like that. Now, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. I got to take a very quick break, but I'll be right back after this with more with Dr. Mike in a minute. You don't want to miss it. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. I'm sitting down with Dr. Mike Fulgens from Universal Coin and Bullion, and we're talking through some of the history of gold. We talked about through the, I thought it was a confiscation. He said it was actually what'd you call it, Mike?
A recall.
A recall. Some semantics there. You have to go back and listen to that if you missed it. But, you know, before we had to take that break, I was asking you about different ways to own gold. You know, whether that goes into a safety deposit box, there's like vault companies, maybe I keep it at my house, or maybe I leverage it through an ETF or something like that. What do you think about the different ways I can own it, and what are some of the risks that are involved with that?
Well, you can take delivery, and it's very easy to buy gold and have it shipped securely to you at an office, a P.O. box, or your house. One of the risks of keeping too much at house, even in a fireproof safe, is if people know about it, they can rob you. I've worked with law enforcement in the area. I'm on the board of Crime Stoppers of Southeast Texas. And, you know, if you have a safe and keep valuables at your home, don't put it in the master bedroom. or bathroom. That's where thieves go first. You want to put it in another room, preferably where it's not obvious.
Not in the sock drawer?
No, not in the sock drawer, in the mattress like Menendez, but allegedly. But what you want to do is have some at home somewhere in a safe, secured place in case of, like, when we had hurricanes here and we had to evacuate for 3 weeks after Rita or Ike. It provided easy liquidity when I couldn't get money out of Chase Bank for a week and then only $500 a day for weeks. And so it provided a way to get cash by selling off some of the gold to coin dealers that I knew outside of Southeast Texas. I would say that I would keep the majority in a private security center box, safety deposit box, or a bank safety deposit box. I've never had clients lose it from those places, although there was an instance in California where a bad guy had a depository center and they took all the boxes, and people are having to go after the FBI to try to get their valuables back.
Yeah,
and the FBI
deal.
Supposedly doesn't have all the listing. So that is a case that has happened in the last couple of years. It got a lot of notoriety. But for my clients and for me, over 40 plus years of doing this, I would say have it in the majority in a safety deposit box. Your broker can work with you on ETFs. It's a very good way to own gold. Gold is kept as a behind the ETFs. Is if the ETF has an ounce of gold on paper, they have to have an ounce in storage of gold. And this year, ETF purchases and outflows have been greater than inflows. Now, central bank buying is up, and it hit 55-year highs last year, led by China, Turkey, Poland, and Russia. And so people oftentimes they wonder about gold and the demand they think in this country or North America. But globally, right now, India, China, Russia, and other countries, the central banks are greatly increasing to back up their currencies, gold. And they've been doing that since 2010. So that's a demand factor. Physical purchases are up from the U.S. Mint, from other mints, of gold. But on the other side, the speculators, the brokers on Wall Street, they have been selling off gold for various reasons in ETFs. So that's where some gold has come back into the market. Gold's up about 3% this year. At one time, it was up about 9%, and it's gone back and forth. The dollar's strengthened now, more because it's all the world's currencies are being inflated and are fiat to some degree, a word that you used in previous conversations. And so it's kind of like we're the best of the worst. There's a race to the bottom, we might say. So right now, the dollar is a little stronger. People look at the raised interest rates and saying, hey, we think the dollar's a little stronger around the world, which generally decreases gold in dollar times. Now, dollar value. Since 2000, gold was 250. It's now 1866. Gold has outperformed all other major investments you think of, which is one reason in a Gallup poll, gold is the number two area that people say they're going to invest in. It's moved up from number four 3 years ago, with only real estate as number one. But it's gone above stocks and bonds and other things that people want to own gold, and we're seeing much more demand.
We talked about different ways to own gold, and I just want to say for everybody listening, this isn't really a one-size-fits-all answer. And so if you have one gold coin or one little gold bar, you know, you don't have to worry about it as much. The more that you have, the more you have to worry about it. So
right.
If you have, you know, a gram of gold, I mean, maybe you do stick it in your kid's sock drawer, or maybe get a little safe for your closet. If you have more gold, then you want a better safe. Now, that also depends on where you live. If you live in an apartment in a very dangerous neighborhood, maybe you don't want to keep any there at all, versus if you live in a big guarded neighborhood, then maybe you keep more there. So you need to understand that it's a little bit different for everybody. If you have lots of gold, you know, I think keeping it in some of these vaults like that you recommended, Mike, is a good idea. Specifically, if you have a lot of gold, potentially holding it in vaults around the world even. And so that's what I've done, putting kind of some gold around other parts of the world. So just in case, that's what sort of I keep gold for, like this, just in case, maybe I need to access it from somewhere else. And so you have those as options. So you kind of think through that. On the ETF side, though, I would also warn people that a lot of ETFs don't actually have the gold. So not everyone buys one-to-one like you've suggested. And so unfortunately, you know, it's hard to know exactly, but there's estimates that show that there's about maybe as many as 500 paper ounces for every one physical ounce. And so at the end of the day, if, you know, the proverbial stuff hits the fan, so to speak, you could find yourself ended up, you know, you have some paper, a paper claim to gold that you don't have any gold for. Have you heard any estimates about how many potential paper claims there are versus physical?
I haven't, but because you brought that up, I'm going to research that, because some of the ETFs I looked into did do one-to-one. But if they aren't, I would avoid those. I would want a one-to-one ratio in the ETFs I would invest in. I also wanted to mention, when you said holding gold, there are a lot of counterfeits from China. China's not just sending over purses and Rolexes
and fentanyl,
all sorts of jewelry and fentanyl components and you know, trafficking humans and all the other things. They're sending over lots of counterfeit goods, airline parts, medical parts, cosmetics filled with lead that are toxic, and coins, precious metals, and bars, tungsten bars layered with gold on the top that I got interviewed on NBC on. You've got to buy, when you buy gold or precious metals, you have to know the dealer very well. Is he a member of respected organizations in the coin and precious metals field? Better yet, has he won awards or served on their boards? Because just buying gold because of a radio ad or me, you've got to check out the dealer by seeing what, do they have too much to lose to treat you improperly? And there are a lot of counterfeits coming in from China. Facebook ads are some of the worst things. Amazon and eBay, we've seen lots of counterfeits, and they respond well when our industry tells them there's a counterfeit listed on their platforms, but they can't keep up with all of them. Alibaba is littered with counterfeits for a platform. And Wish is horrible for counterfeits being on their platform. So you've got to be very careful when you buy precious metals. They even counterfeit the outside containers and holders of official government containers on PAMP bars or on U.S. coins.
Yeah.
So you have to have someone that you buy from. Check them out before you ever buy.
Definitely.
Great investment, but you have to do that.
Definitely. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. I'm sitting down with Dr. Mike Fulgens from Universal Coin and Bullion, and we're talking about gold. I want to get more into the global demand for gold because, man, the global south, the BRICS, it's creating a whole new world and paradigm. We're going to cover that when we come back. We're going to take a very short break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. I'm sitting down with Dr. Mike Fulgens from Universal Coin and Bullion, and we're just talking through gold. We were talking about through the kind of the history of gold. Now I want to talk maybe about the future of gold. So you had mentioned earlier that central banks have bought more gold than they have in like the last 55 years, five decades or so, and it continues to go up. I guess, what's your take on like the rise of the BRICS and potentially them trying to, you know, maybe do some sort of a gold-backed currency or maybe use gold as like a reserve asset or something like that?
There's a lot of thought that they are trying to usurp the position of the dollar as the leading currency in the world. And by having more gold to back up their currency, they would use that as a marketing or actual tool to convince countries and people to do that. So as we run up more and more debt, like you so appropriately pointed out, and print money way above the GDP and increase our debt dramatically, like you pointed out, they'll have more of an argument for that. Not today, but as we go forward. So I foresee that there will be a challenge on that, especially from trying countries that we are not as friendly with, trying to set something up amongst more and more countries to compete with the dollar and the status of our currency.
Yeah.
And that's good for gold, but it's not good for the future of the country in many ways financially.
That's debatable, right? What's good, right? Good and bad is a very subjective word. It certainly diminishes, you know, if the dollar gets sort of usurped, as you said, it certainly diminishes the ability of the United States to continue to run these massive deficits, certainly diminishes their role to kind of conjure up money out of thin air without having to suffer the consequences of massive deflation, for sure. Could that be better for people of America in the long run? I think it certainly could be, but not without probably a lot of pain and turbulence along the way, that's for sure. But going back to that point, you know, what I've seen, you know, the rise of the BRICS, we're seeing, and you already kind of mentioned some of these nations that are actually buying gold. And so they're actually trending down in U.S. dollar treasuries. So they're buying less and less treasuries, and they're buying more and more gold. As a matter of fact, they've been net sellers of treasuries and buyers of gold, which is pretty interesting. And a lot of people are saying that, well, you know, there's no replacement for the dollar. They don't have the SWIFT system, the correspondent banks. There's no deep liquid bond market for them to put money into, which I would agree with that. But they can just hold gold. And it looks like that's what's happening. So I think that's a very interesting dynamic. I don't know if they're going to go back to a gold-backed currency per se. In the last BRICS, BRICS meeting that they had in August, they were recommending that each nation trade in their own currencies. So that's like a currency. But as far as like a reserve asset, maybe instead of holding U.S. treasuries, they would hold gold. And that's going to be a massive, massive tailwind. What about the price of gold? So as I kind of said, you know, there's potentially, you know, several, maybe potentially hundreds of more paper ounces for every physical ounce. There's all types of shorting, naked shorting going on Wall Street. JP Morgan traders went to prison over it. And then the price of gold is set every day by the LBMA, a group of bankers in London that just hop on a phone call and set the price. How much of the gold price do you think has really been suppressed because of some of these things?
Well, there have been lawsuits over the last decade plus about suppression of gold prices, and not much ever came from that, from the civil lawsuits brought by even some major coin companies on that that felt that was happening. But, you know, people will look for advantages, and I have no doubt that over the years there has been things done to somewhat suppress gold, or maybe even somewhat encourage better pricing. But it hasn't come out in major court cases, expensive ones brought over the years by people I know personally.
Yeah. So without any strong action, you're not really sure how legitimate those kind of claims are on that. It just seems like with all the demand that we've had, that the price should move a little bit better. And you know, obviously, if they create artificial demand outside of the physical asset, then that sort of, you know, kind of shows where things are at. What about, do you track like the amount of physical gold, like in the COMEX deliveries and things like that?
No, I don't. But I did want to add to this is that the last four election years, with uncertainty, and especially now with turmoil around the world in many ways, and the increased debt and everything. The last four election years, Obama, you know, when we had Trump, Biden, when you get through it, we've had substantial rises in gold in the last four election years. And Mark Twain said, history doesn't always repeat itself, but it often rhymes.
Right.
And I have always thought election years are a good year. And going back for decades, I bet on a 10 to 20% rise, which we've seen many times upcoming in the next election year because all the uncertainty it brings.
So the uncertainty of this election, not knowing who's going to get in, what policies they may or may not do, things like that. Gold has always been this like chaos hedge. That's sort of what I call it. So you're saying that you think in times of uncertainty, people maybe flock to gold a little bit more and that caused it to go up?
Yes. And like in 08, when you had the massive stock market drop, gold went up substantially. People flocked to gold over the concerns there during banking crisis. It has happened. People look for safe haven. And so it's you call it life insurance for the rest of your portfolio in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can see, I mean, obviously 2020 was a pretty extreme case with the pandemic and whatnot. But we can see that, yeah, to your point, gold, you know, shot up about 50% in 2020. So it did definitely move up quite a bit. In 2008, I mean, we had the great financial crisis, and gold sort of got smashed along with stocks at that time, right? It was down, looks like it dropped about 50% during that time. But then it took off and it climbed, from there, went up 175% right after that.
Way above what it took stocks longer to recover. And it far outperformed that during that time
period. Yeah, that's a very good point that I like to bring up all the time. You know, when you look at gold, supposed to be the safe asset haven, but you know, in the liquidity crisis, everything sort of gets smashed at the same time. The baby gets thrown out with the bathwater, so to speak. And that the point that you just brought up is exactly right. If we did see a gold drop in 2008 along with the stock market, but the key piece that I like to bring back is two pieces. One, it took gold about 7 months to get back to its previous high. Whereas it took stocks 7 years. So that's a big deal. And two, stocks got back up after 7 years and then slowly grinded higher, whereas gold didn't just get back in 7 months. It skyrocketed and took off 175% in just a short period of time. So I think it's a very key piece to understand in that. I think...
Can I interject one more thing
here?
Yeah,
please.
And I so love the points you're bringing up. And I always say this is very important for people. You can buy gold after researching it pretty easily, but when you go to sell gold, it's equally important to know who you're going to sell it to. And gold parties get you a small amount of the money that reputable large coin dealers would pay. Mail-in gold ads bump up when gold's hot. You'll see hotel coin buyers. You'll see gold parties. You'll see ads, pawnbrokers advertising. We've done surveys all over the country. A reputable large coin dealer pays the most for it. And you've got to redo your research before you sell, because you can literally get 10, 20 cents on the dollar in the testing. Buddy of mine, Jerry Jordan, a very good reporter and editor, and I tested in numerous states and state capital areas. And we just found you've got to spend time researching who you sell to before you sell. Don't rush into that decision. People think about buying, but when they sell, they generally have the urge to sell. And oftentimes they go to you wouldn't sell stamps to a car auction. You go to the experts in the area and make sure you do your research and homework before you sell.
That's a good point. I want to get some more practical tips of how you do research and what you should be looking for, but I got to take a quick break. If you just tune in, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show. I'm sitting down with Dr. Mike Fulgens from Universal Coin and Bullion, and we're talking about gold, we're talking about the financial system, and we're talking about protecting your wealth. It's a key piece. I got to take a very quick break. We're going to come back with some tips on exactly how you can do that. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
We'll be right back.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, welcome back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Mark Maugh Show, and I'm sitting down with Dr. Mike Fulgens from Universal Coin and Bullion, and we're talking about gold. We're talking about how to protect your wealth. And, you know, you'd made up a great point before we took a break there, and you talked about, you know, it's not just only important to know where you're buying it from, but also where you're selling it to. I want to unpack that a little bit. I know, you know, a lot of people are concerned about how much they're paying for the gold versus somebody else. So typically you'd look for like over spot price. So there's like the price of gold, and then you would sell it for over spot. And then there's lots of different types of gold that are sold at different premiums over spot. And then I'm guessing when you sell it, you also sell at a discount to spot. So what are you said that people should do the research. What are some things that they should be looking for, or maybe some red flags they should be watching out for?
Well, when I wrote the guide for the Attorney General of Texas, we pointed out they should be A-plus accredited with a Better Business Bureau. None of these are the sole reason you should use them. There have been bad people accredited by the BBB. It just takes a while for them to get enough complaints and issues come up. But I look for that. I look to see, did they ever win an award in their profession, like what's behind me? Are they contributed to guidebooks on the field? Are they on boards locally or nationally in the profession? And basically, do they have too much to lose to unethically treat you on the coins? And that's what buying or selling, you need to look into that. And if you go to the consumer alert on gold for the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, you can see all the guidelines I put there that are on his website. I also would say when you're buying, there's sales tax exemptions in 41 states, but there's a number of states, Hawaii, Maine, New Jersey, New Mexico, Kentucky, Vermont, Wisconsin, Washington, D.C., where you've got to pay sales tax. You do not want to pay sales tax of, let's say, 8%, like it would be in some states, when a reputable dealer makes 1% to 2% on his bullion sales or less. So it is legal to have it shipped to a state that doesn't have sales tax, a depository in Delaware or in Dallas, Texas, or somewhere like that. Or you could go buy it in another state and then drive it or fly it to your state. But please don't pay 8% if you're in one of these states that have a sales tax, or you're in a state that only has a partial exemption. Something to look at. There's some people I was following online today that were upset that they bought gold from a major, major outlet that started selling gold bars, and they got charged the tax. And they said, we got an exemption. But this major platform of this organization, grocery store, did not collect the tax with the exemptions like we've been involved in setting that. How do you collect it properly in all the states? And so you've got to make sure that you pay your legal taxes, but you don't pay tax if you don't have to.
Yeah, that's a big one that people should pay attention to, because to your point, if you're paying 2 or 3% over spot, but then you're paying 8% on taxes, so like you may be out there like trying to compare everybody, and well, this one's 2% over, this one's 3% over, 4% over, but then you're completely missing the 8% that's hanging over your head potentially. And so being aware of that seems like a pretty big deal.
So your question on which ways to buy it, you can buy 1 ounce gold bars for about 1.5% to 2.5% over gold spot per ounce. And dealers would pay you spot to 1% over to buy it back. Gold coins, the two most popular coins in this country that trade most often, and dealers will give you the tightest buy-sell spread on things that don't stay on the shelf very long. If you buy a Krugerrand that stays on my shelf for a while, I can't pay the tighter spread that I do on the American Eagle or the Canadian Maple Leaf. So you want to stay in a popular coin at a good price spread. And on American Eagles, I buy it 2% over spot. I sell it 3.5. Some dealers sell it 4, 4.5. Those are all fair. But if you get into a less popular coin that's a little cheaper than the American Eagle, maybe it's the Philharmonic at 3% over spot, but you may only get spot when you go to sell it, and fewer dealers will buy it from you. I would stay with the most popular gold bullion traded things. Now, the problem with bars is oftentimes dealers who can tell counterfeits on coins, there's not as good a way, even with an X-ray gun we used to shoot, to tell for sure. So they got to send it off to get assayed before they can buy it from you. So you've got less liquidity with bars, and especially the bigger the bar gets. We don't have much of a counterfeiting issue with silver that way, but we do with gold.
What about silver?
I like silver, but it's heavy. People talk about survival silver. You try to carry a large amount of silver to get a dollar amount with you, and you're going to get hurt. But I do like silver. I like silver American Eagles. I like 10-ounce bars, and I think everybody should have some silver. But again, it may be better to buy paper silver ETF for larger investments in silver.
Because it's so big and so heavy to keep on your own.
And the storage is more expensive. If you put in a safe deposit box, you have to get huge safety deposit boxes. Also, if you get a safety deposit box, get it at eye level, preferably. Too low if you're in a flooded area like we are near water, or if you're near a river. If you get a flood, you get flooded with everything. Too high, it's hard to access. I like safety deposit boxes close to eye level where it wouldn't flood typically.
You know, you've been doing this for a really long time. So I'm curious, you know, your viewpoint of doing this for so long. You know, we're potentially staring down the barrel of a recession coming. Lots of talk about a recession. Potentially, we're even in a recession. The Biden administration changed the definition of recession earlier this year, so we'd come out of it.
Right, you are.
But, you know, so many people view that potentially by the end of this year or most likely next year, we'll go into a recession. And I'm just curious, how have gold sales held up historically through recessions? Does it typically has it been good? Like, it's typically a strong time to buy, or does it is it recession resistant, or does it really kind of get hit by that?
You know, recession is one factor that can hit where you have a little less buyers, but people of wealth tend to keep buying gold and keep adding. If they're making money, they keep their proportion of gold, which we recommend, as the World Gold Council does, 10 to 20%. In gold, because typically they say it has a negative beta. It goes up when other assets go down. So the people with considerable wealth, what UBS or Merrill Lynch look for, over 50 with income and savings, those people keep buying gold to add the percentage there. People like I was when I was in my 20s and 30s may not buy as much, but people of wealth keep buying. The more uncertainty, though, oil prices rising, inflation, worldwide turmoil, like I said, election years, that tends to override anything and cause greater gold buying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's funny to me where you see, you know, videos or whatever online of like Black Friday sales. You know, people are like camping out all night in front of a Walmart or whatever to get a discount on a TV or something like that, to the point where they're literally camping out overnight. They're trampling people to get money or to save a little bit of money on whatever that electronic may be. But when financial assets are on sale, they then don't want to buy them. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. Shouldn't we want to back up the truck when financial assets are on sale as well?
Hope they'd buy on the dip, but we're seeing more people in their 20s and 30s who got into Bitcoin and saw, you know, some of the wild swings from $60,000 to 20 in the 20s and down lower. They are now seeing the benefit of taking some of their money they made in Bitcoin or they have there and moving. So we're seeing a lot more people in the 20s and 30s buying some gold than we did the previous couple decades.
Yeah. Well, I know for me, you know, when the 2008 crisis happened, the great financial crash, you know, I started shell shocked, like, what the heck just happened? I had to start looking at the monetary policy of the Fed, I realized that fiat's the problem and I became a gold bug, right? So it's a sound money policy is what we want. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. I've been sitting down with Dr. Mike Fulgens from Universal Coin and Bullion, just talking through gold, one of the oldest forms of money, the best way to protect yourself, the chaos hedge, as I call it. And he's got a special deal. If you want to get the best deal on gold, check him out, universalcoin.com/Mark Moss. You'll get that deal. And that's what we got. Thanks so much for listening today.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.